good to see everyone this morning. Good to have you with us, especially if you're visiting with us. We want you to know you're very welcome and invite you to be with us whenever you have the opportunity. I want to direct your attention this morning to a familiar passage to us, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This was said within a context of a time in his life that he was reflecting upon times that he had financially, you might say, had a lot, or financially had not had anything. But in regardless of whatever his financial state was, he could still do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Because along with the song that we just sung and the thoughts that we expressed in our Bible study this morning about raising our Ebenezer, God has brought us thus far with the expectation that God is going to continue to be with us and take us all the way to the end. So this is a very similar statement. You might say this was Paul's Ebenezer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As one who is in Christ, we have the capability through Christ to do whatever He expects of us. And so I don't know what you're dealing with today or what you're thinking about or what you're wondering about. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking about becoming a Christian. But you're wondering, I don't know if I can be a Christian. I don't know if I can live up to what God wants me to do. Let me assure you that God is assuring us that as long as we remain in Christ, that we can do all things through Him, that we can do His will and we can live to His glory. Maybe you're here today as a child of God and you're wondering about your capability to share the gospel with others, as we're going to be emphasizing that in this coming month, beginning tonight. And so you question yourself. Let me assure you that God is saying to us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. None of these things we do alone. In all of these things, we do them with one another. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi here when he says, I have learned in whatever state I am therein to be content. I can do all things through Christ. He was also thanking them for their financial support, that they had been with him. He could do all things through Christ, but he could do it because they were all working together. So also realize that you're never alone. Whatever you're dealing with and struggling with, if you'll share that with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you'll never be doing it alone. And so James tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we are to share our concerns with one another and the things that we're concerned about, so that we're not just bearing our cross alone, but there are others who want to bear that cross with us. So this morning I want to talk to you about this can-do attitude. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think that we've mentioned before that I think it was Zig Ziglar, who was a motivational speaker, who coined the phrase, success comes in cans. And I like that. It doesn't come in cannots. The minute you say, I can't do something, you're not going to do it. But if you say, I can do this, I can keep pressing forward, you might find what doesn't work and what's not working, but at the same time, be committed to do what God has called us to do. I want to focus on that this morning. What can we do, and what attitude should we have as we do it? Well, first of all, we need to do all things that the Lord would have us to do. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, whatever you do, in word or deed, whatever you say, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. As we've talked about, the term Lord signifies one who has authority. So when you read the word Lord or the term Lord, think authority. That's what your attention is being directed to, the authority of the one who has authority. Do all in the name of, by the authority of, the one who is the Lord. What has the Lord authorized you to do? Do that. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. I can do all things so long as the Lord has authorized it in Scripture. You know, many people today do a lot of things and say, we're going to give the Lord the glory for this. But the Lord didn't tell them to do it. Jesus lamented that on the day of judgment, there will be many who will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? He said, I'll profess unto them, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. They were doing things that God had not commanded. They might have said, we're doing them in the name of the Lord, but the Lord hadn't told them to do it. They couldn't establish it by authority. They couldn't go to the Scriptures and say, here's where the Lord has, by a direct command or an example, an approved example or a necessary inference, taught us to do a certain thing. We can do all things, but all things that we do must be authorized by He who is the Lord. And when we do it, we are to do it heartily. I want you to notice the relationship of these two passages because I've always appreciated them. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do, do it to the Lord. But notice Colossians 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Don't just do it. Do it heartily. Do it with all of your heart. So when God tells us to worship Him, do it with all of your heart. When God tells us to live for Him, do it with all of your heart. When God tells us to help others, do it with all of your heart. Do it heartily as to the Lord. When God tells us to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord through a study of His Word, to rightly divide His Word, do it heartily. Do it with all of your might. Contextually, this admonition was addressed to slaves. He's talking to slaves in this portion of Scripture. And what their conduct is to be, even though they don't have their physical freedom, Christ has set them free. They are doing labor for someone else. Maybe they don't want to do that labor, but the Lord here is saying, do that heartily. Do it heartily. Because you're not just serving this master of yours. More importantly, you are a reflection of your Savior, Christ, who has paid with the blood, His own blood, for your freedom from sin. How you conduct yourself in your life is a reflection of Christ being in your life. And so, as a Christian, as one who follows Christ, whatever you do, do it heartily, because you're doing it to the Lord and not merely to men. Whatever a Christian does is to be done to the very best of their ability, with all their heart, as unto the Lord. If you're doing something for the Lord, then it's never good enough. You know, that's good enough. We had an expression in the military. It said, well, that's close enough for government work. And if you're not familiar with the people who said that, you'd think, well, then everything was just out of whack. Oh, no, we're talking about very close tolerances. When we said close enough for government work, we meant it had to be pretty close to exactly perfect. Whatever you do, do it to the very best of your ability. I don't know, do you like being around people who have just kind of a ho-hum attitude about things they do in their life? Or do you like being around people that it doesn't matter what they're doing in their life, they're excited about it, and they're eager to do it, and they're striving to look for ways to improve what they're doing all of the time? that's me. I like to be around those kinds of people. They make me better. They encourage me to do better. Sometimes I think people look at me a little strange when I say, well, we can do that better. And they say, well, that's good enough. And I said, well, yeah, but can't we do it better? And sometimes, I mean, I've learned to, sometimes we don't have to do things better. Everything doesn't have to be exactly perfect in some things. Getting close enough is close enough and is good enough and is best enough. But we need to be striving to do the very best that we can. What about our occupation? Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And so this is probably the first application of that for us in the 21st century, even though the scriptures here is speaking to slaves, and to here he's talking to employees. As you go to your work, you're not there just from whatever hours you're assigned to work to do whatever task you were assigned to do and do it good enough and then leave and draw your paycheck. No, you're there to represent Christ. You're there as a child of God. You're there as one who has come out of the darkness to walk in the light and to let the light of Christ shine in your life. Whatever you do, you're there to glorify God. And so the job that you are paid to do, you do that to the very best of your ability, always improving. But you also do it with an attitude that others want to be around you and others want to emulate you and others want to be like you because you are like Christ. I don't believe there's anybody who's in the dark that doesn't like the darkness, that wants to come, that doesn't want to come out of the darkness to walk in the light. They're looking for a way. They just don't know the way. And if they don't see that light in you, who are they going to see it in? They're not going to see it. They're not going to hear the truth from someone else because they don't know the truth. You do. So, as Jesus said, you know, I didn't light you to put you under a bushel. You are lit for a reason. To let your light shine. To let it be seen. To let the word of God be heard from your lips and in your actions. But also, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. That applies to our marriages. You care about your spouse. Well, of course I care about them. I love my spouse. Always. They always come first. They're always thinking about them and their needs and their wants and your responsibility to them to give them those things that they have need of. Even if it means sacrifice on your part, do it heartily as to the Lord. This is not just about pleasing them. This is about pleasing the Lord in your relationship to your spouse. A student. Should a student strive to get the best grades they can? As a Christian, yeah. You know, you don't strive to get the best grades you can just because you want a better resume, you know, to go to a particular college or something like that. But you do it because you're a representative of Christ. You're working hard. Now, you might not be the straight-A student, but if you're working diligently and hard and that's seen and it's appreciated by your teachers and your fellow students, that's noted. Do the best that you can. As a church member, are you doing the best you can? If there's any one of these areas where perhaps we're more guilty than any other, of saying, well, that's good enough. It's probably in what we do as a member of the church. That's good enough. We measure ourselves among ourselves. Say, well, let me see, how did they do it? How did we do it? You know, maybe you were in a congregation someplace else before you came to this congregation. Well, how did we do it? Okay. But, you know, I've often made the point, you know, don't let your faith be a matter of your experience. Faith is a matter of revelation. True faith is a matter of hearing the Word of God, recognizing the standard of God's Word, and living up to that. And you might say, well, where I was before and what we did before, this is what we did to come to that standard. And that's fine. Sometimes there's more than one way to do a certain thing. None of them are particularly wrong, but are they the best? Can we make improvement on that? I think that's one of the things we're trying to do in our observance of the Lord's Supper that is outlined for us by Andy. And you'll see how that all works next week. I think it'll go real smooth, and I hope we'll all be edified for it. But there's so many other areas that we need to look at. You know, we talked about in our men's meeting a couple weeks ago about several different things, but one of the things in our song service and song leading, you know, I hear all the time, well, I'm not a song leader, I'm a song starter. Okay? Is that where you're going to leave it? Can you do better? Can you learn to be a song leader? Can you learn how to pitch a song? Shake your heads this way. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Can you learn how to hit a note and replicate that note in your mind and in your vocal cords and articulate that? Yes, you can. But it's hard work. Yeah, but you can do it. So if you're going to lead singing, do it heartily as to the Lord. Because it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the Lord, bringing glory to Him and leading others in praise. Whatever we do, you know, the work of the church. So many times I hear people talking about the work of the church, and they're talking about what we do in worship. Lead a prayer, lead the Lord's Supper, lead a song, preach a sermon. That's not the work of the church. The work of the church is doing God's will every day of our life in the way that He would have us to do it, as He teaches us to do it, to talk the way He teaches us to talk, to live the way He teaches us to live, to treat each other the way He teaches us to treat one another. We can do better. And when we recognize that we can do better, we need to realize that we can do better and improve upon that. Do your very best. Do your best. Never be satisfied with the good enough attitude. I like the example of Hezekiah that we find in 2 Chronicles 31, verses 20 through 21. Thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judea. Hezekiah is the king. After there's been several years of a bad king and people led in idolatrous worship, Hezekiah brings the people back to God. I don't believe that was easy to do. But Hezekiah said, this is what we have to do, and had the attitude of, we can do it. And I want you to notice how he embraced this task. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before God, before the Lord his God. The word Lord there is the name of God, Jehovah God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. So he prospered. I believe Hezekiah had the attitude that Paul expressed, his, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is what God has called me to do. This is my responsibility. He wouldn't give me this responsibility unless I could do it. And so he forged ahead and said, we're going to do it. And he led the people in righteousness. There are other admonitions about doing things heartily to the Lord. I'm not finished with you yet. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, whatever your hand finds to do. So, if I'm washing the dishes or visiting another member or studying my Bible for myself or with someone, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might, do it with all of your strength. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. You're not going to grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God after you die. It's in this life that we learn about God and who He would have us to be. And that we live for Him and we practice these things in our life. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Romans 12 and verse 11 tells us to not be lagging in diligence, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I've always found that first expression to be interesting. Lagging in diligence, not lagging in diligence. Diligence doesn't have any lagging in it. Diligence means you're moving ahead. But sometimes I think we have this attitude of, well, I'm diligent. I'm just not as diligent as I need to be. He says, don't be that way. Don't be lagging in diligence. Be diligent. Be fervent, alive, vibrant in spirit. Because you're serving the Lord. I can do all things God directs me to do. And I must do them with my whole heart, completely dedicated to God, all in. Do it to the glory of God, whatever you do. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 says, Therefore, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, nobody's going to tell me what I can eat, or what I can drink, or what I can't eat or can't drink. Well, be careful about that. Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, there's a wonderful freeing of spirit when you give your spirit to serve God. You set yourself free from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the things that bring you down, tear you down, that tell you you're not what God wants you to be. You set yourself free from that when you decide to serve God and live to His glory. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Don't go around purposely offending people. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You realize that Paul was a man who was traveling the known world, going from village to village, society to society. Everybody's got their own little qualms and traditions and so forth. You learn how to be all things to all men, how to assimilate into that without sinning, without going against God. You're not compromising God's word. You're trying to live a life that's free of offending anyone. How do you do that? Well, it's not about you. You might have your ways of doing things, but that doesn't mean it's the only way of doing it. Not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, the edification of all. In matters of liberty and judgment, we must not act in self-interest. This is the way I want to do it, and this is the way it's going to have to be done. No, it's the wrong attitude. In matters of liberty and judgment, we must take everyone into consideration. We must choose the course of action that will edify others, build up others, and advance the cause of Christ. In John 15 and verse 8, Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples." We need to let that sink in. We want God to be glorified, but we want Him to do everything that brings glory to Him. But Jesus said that's not the way it works. The way it works is like this. My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. If I'm not bearing much fruit, God is not glorified. If I'm not serving God when I go to my workplace, I'm not bearing fruit. I'm not glorifying God. If I'm not treating my spouse in the way God teaches me to treat my spouse, I'm not glorifying God. I'm detracting from the glory of God. I'm doing it my way. You know, Sinatra used to sing, famous for the song, "I did it my way." I sang a little bit. I don't know if he'd be singing that song with so much robust today. We need to be doing things the Lord's way and to the Lord's glory. We bear the fruit as the result of abiding in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things because I'm abiding in Christ. And His Word then abiding in us, directing our lives. We glorify God by bearing the fruit of the Spirit, outlined for us in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Not easy to be long-suffering, is it? You get tired of being long-suffering, don't you? Fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. No limit to these things. There's no limit to love and joy and peace and long-suffering that you can extend to others. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will be seen in you and God will be glorified. Matthew 5 and verse 16, as we've alluded to a few times this morning, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." What you read from God's Word, trust and obey. Do what God says. And God will be glorified. You will be saved and God will be glorified. In this, in every activity that we engage in, we need to ask the question, is this an activity that is consistent with my claim to be a follower of Christ? Is this what the Lord would have me to do? Is this the way the Lord would have me to do it? I can do all things as long as they bring glory to God. They're not self-serving, but God-glorifying. when we have this can-do attitude, we must do unto others as we would have them do unto us. As expressed in Matthew 7 and verse 12, as we often refer to it as the golden rule. Matthew 22 and verse 39, Jesus referred to it as the second greatest commandment. And James 2 and verse 8, it's referred to as the royal law, to do to others as you would have them do to you. Not as they have done to you, but as you would have them do to you. What if they're mistreating you? You can't mistreat them because you don't want to be mistreated. This rule compels us to deal with others by beginning with ourselves. The selfish heart thinks of others only as a means to advance self, manipulate others for my own profit. But the heart of love thinks of others with their best welfare in mind. The loving heart renders to others what they need, not what they deserve. God gave us what we needed, not what we deserved. What we deserved is to be separated from Him. But God loved us and gave us what we needed. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what we needed. That's where His grace was extended to us in offering His Son to pay the price of death for our sins. I can do all things as long as I treat others the way I would want to be treated. Christians are to be a can-do people. All of these passages and many, many more we could refer to show us that God is saying, look, you can do this. You're not alone. I created you. I know what you're capable of more than you know what you're capable of. I think of that a lot of times. You know, an engineer sits down, whether he's designing an engine or a building or whatever it might be, he designs it with capabilities. And he puts it out there for others to use, and they look at it and they use it, but they don't use it to its full capability. They say, well, if we take it that far, then we're going to be putting too much stress on it, and it won't stand it. No, the engineer designed that into us. Well, God is the great engineer. God knows what you are capable of and what I'm capable of. And when God tells us to do something, He knows we can do it if we set our mind on Him and not on ourselves. We're strong and courageous. We can do His will. When it comes to what we can do, we must ask, is it authorized by Christ? Can I find it in the Scriptures? What does the Lord want me to do? Can I do it heartily as to the Lord? Whatever He tells us to do, we are to do heartily to the Lord. And we are to do it to the glory of God. So the next time you're thinking about doing something, ask yourselves these questions. Is this what God teaches us to do? Am I doing it heartily to the Lord? Is it glorifying God? And if not, then don't do it. And turn to those things that do glorify Him. Is it what I would want done to me? Is it what I would want people to do to bring glory to me? No. Usually when we're sinning, it's just to gratify ourselves. And we don't see any glory in it. Might see some carnal pleasure for a moment. But we don't see any glory. So if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you're not a Christian, you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've made a decision to turn from your sins, to follow Him. Maybe you've been asking, I don't know if I can be a Christian. Yes, you can. God has called you to it. Just follow Him. Just continue steadfastly in what He's delivered to us in His Word. Confess Him as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins and walk with Him in newness of life. Others have done it, and you can too. And if that's your desire, we'd encourage you to let it be known. If you're here today and you're a child of God, out of favor with Him, you need to make corrections with Him, you'd say, well, I've made so many mistakes in the past, I just don't know if I can do it. Yes, you can. Abide in Christ. Take the focus off of yourself and put it on Christ. And you can do His will. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?